Here is the Wood Gundy Financial Report to this hour. The Toronto Stock Exchange Index is up 2.2 in a volume of 875,000 shares. The oil index up 1, mines up
1977. No explicit expenditure guideline has been adopted for 1978-79. As will be evident in my later remarks, this does not mean unrestrained growth in budgetary expenditures. Indeed, in many areas, expenditure increases have been held below those approved last year. This reflects the need to restrict the rate of growth of provincial expenditures in order that the private sector in Alberta has sufficient room to continue to take the initiatives which will ensure our future economic prosperity. Our success in holding expenditure increases down over the past 2 years, however, enables us to increase expenditures in selective areas where growth or cost pressures have been particularly acute. In addition, we are in a position to assist the economy to adjust to the completion of the Syncrude project by accelerating necessary public capital projects. Finally, I will be announcing this evening certain tax measures which will enable all Albertans to enjoy today additional benefits from our strong financial position and which will have a direct impact on reducing the effects of inflation. Mr. Speaker, before outlining the details of this budget, I would like to outline the economic circumstances as we see them at this time. Overview of the economy. A review of international economic prospects indicates that little change in the growth rate is expected for the Western industrialized nations in 1978. Of the major Western economic powers, Japan, Germany, and the United States, it would appear that only the latter has been able to produce what may be termed a sustained economic expansion.
We'll continue with details on the budget speech right after this.
We'd like to step inside your mouth and have a word with one of your teeth. Hello there.
Hi.
You would be?
An incisor.
Right.
A clean, white, razor-sharp incisor. And how do I stay clean and white?
I don't know.
Brushing and flossing every day.
Oh, brushing and flossing every day?
Right. I learned that from my favorite uncle, who's a movie star.
I bet you did. What movie did he star in?
Jaws.
This message is sponsored by your health department. Keep your teeth for a lifetime.
The business world is a complex one, yet at the same time fascinating. Junior Achievement knows this and, with an eye to the future, offers youngsters training to equip them for the ongoing role of commerce. Junior Achievement, teaching our young people the basics. Members of JA, with the guidance of recognized corporate citizens, form their own businesses and handle every aspect from manufacture to sales, from labor to management. Junior Achievement, building today for the future. CKO News continues now with details from the Alberta budget speech, which took place the end of last week.
As well, given the weak to modest performance of the other major industrialized countries, it appears doubtful that real economic growth will be much higher in 1978 than it was in 1977, unless further stimulus is provided. Inflation rates continue to vary across the spectrum of OECD countries, and indications are that performances of individual countries are not expected to change appreciably in 1978. With prospects lacking for strong growth in 1978, no significant inroads into the current world rates of unemployment can be expected. In many respects, the Canadian experience has paralleled that of the economic community of which it is a member. Some relative improvement is foreseen for 1978. While in 1977, the growth rate in the Canadian economy was well below the average in an international context, it is anticipated that real growth of 4 to 5% will be achieved in 1978, which is higher than the anticipated average growth for other industrialized nations. Unfortunately, This expected improvement in overall growth is unlikely to permit any improvement in the unemployment rate because of the anticipated growth in the labor force. On a positive note, it is expected that inflation, currently reflecting price increases for imported goods due to the recent depreciation of the Canadian dollar, will moderate. The international reaction to our competitive situation was brought home with some force during 1976 and 1977, with the depreciation of the Canadian dollar by more than 10% in relation to the American dollar. The crux of the issue is jobs. Continued jobs for those now in the labor force, and new jobs for those entering the labor force in the years to come. Certain industries are already experiencing significant layoffs, and others have avoided doing so only through policy measures which have reserved a portion of the domestic market for them. Such protectionist measures are neither desirable nor feasible for the longer term or in broader application. There are two potential outcomes to the situation we now face. If we continue to increase wages and prices at rates which are out of line with our productivity and our trading partners' performances, then Canada will continue to experience poor employment prospects and a depreciating currency. In short, a reduced average standard of living. The alternative, to restrain our collective demands on the system, may be difficult to accomplish, but it is imperative if the Canadian economy is to grow and prosper. Mr. Speaker, Alberta took a leading role at the recently concluded First Minister's Conference on the Economy in proposing new directions for the Canadian economy. The Premier focused on the need for a new attitude in Canada toward the private sector, a renewed appreciation of the role of the risk taker, and the necessary rewards that must accompany risk taking. Alberta stated the position that we must aim to reduce the share of total output consumed by government, to constrain public sector wage settlements to levels that the private sector can afford, to reduce unnecessary government regulation, and to provide incentives for viable economic enterprises, rather than permanently subsidizing marginal activities. In addition, Alberta stressed the need for action to reduce Canada's dependence on imported crude oil, and in general, to build on our natural strengths. These Alberta positions were adopted as part of the joint communique at the close of the conference. Should appropriate action be forthcoming from other governments in Canada, following up on the common position taken at the conference, we believe that the necessary climate of business confidence will be created, which will provide a healthy recovery and a brighter, longer-term future for the Canadian economy. Alberta economy. To date, Alberta has been able to avoid, to a large extent, the economic problems facing the rest of the country. This above-average performance is expected to continue through 1978, at a pace comparable to that experienced in 1977. At the root of this sustained growth have been the continued high levels of investment which Alberta has attained over the past several years. At present, investment in Alberta accounts for about 17% of the Canadian total, which compares favorably with our...
In the Alberta budget speech, which took place the end of last week. You are listening to CKO6, 101 on your FM dial.
This car care message is brought to you by Cliffs Towing. Canada's harsh winters call for the roads to be sanded and salted. Sand and salt eat and grind away at every exposed surface of your car. To protect your car, take the following protective measures. Undercoat the underside of your car and also internally, between panels and into those parts of the bodywork where acid and rust do their worst damage. Also, wash your car once a week. With regular washing, you notice scratches and chips soon after they happen. Touch up immediately or rusting will start. If rusting has already started, rub it off with steel wool. This message has been brought to you by Cliffs, the towing people. We're concerned with your safety. That's why we have qualified company drivers on call 24 hours a day. For immediate service, call Cliffs Towing Service at 451-1555.
Now here is CKO's sales manager, Bill Matthews.
Good day. The millions of radio advertisers presently receiving results from their campaigns, be they large or small, indicates the tremendous effectiveness of the use of the oldest and yet most up-to-date media offered to you, the businessman, radio coverage. CKO-FM, recognized nationwide as the radio station providing immediate and informative programming, is selling stores, services, and industries across this great nation of ours. I'm most pleased to offer you, the business person, the opportunity to participate and obtain the results which your company requires. We at CKO FM 6 will investigate, research, and present an advertising plan tailored to your specific needs and avoid target audience waste. May I ask you to contact me, Bill Matthews, personally to discuss your requirements in order that we at CKO FM can provide this same tested service to you. Call me at 482-5606.
This is CKO 6, 101 on your FM dial. The current downtown Edmonton temperature is 6 degrees Celsius. The forecast, sunny today, the chance of some cloud, moderate west winds this afternoon. The lows tonight, minus 5 to 0. Tomorrow, sunny, some cloud, winds moderate out of the west. The highs tomorrow, 6 to 8. Current temperature again, 6 degrees Celsius. Winds are out of the west at 17 kilometers per hour. The barometer, 29.77. The humidity, 57%. CKO News Time, 28 minutes past 11 o'clock.
The winds are from the west at 17, the barometer 29.77, the humidity 57%.
CKO Radio News continues with live coverage of Question Period from the House of Commons in Ottawa. Question Period provides an opportunity for members to question the government of the day. House Speaker James Jerome has recognized the first question, and it comes from the opposition leader, Joe Clark, who's asking a question of External Affairs Minister Don Jamieson as we join the conversation.
Which he put, I would have been more than pleased, and the government would have been more than pleased, to devise a mutually acceptable wording after, Mr. Speaker, we had an opportunity to brief the Honorable Leader of the Opposition on the circumstances that exist here. At the present time. Mr. Speaker, the position at the moment is that we have repeated our agreement in principle to participate in the peacekeeping force agreed to by the Security Council on Saturday. The problem at the moment with going beyond that is, first of all, we have not been asked. And second, there are a number of questions with regard to the details of the mandate. And as I told the Right Honorable Member from Prince Albert on Friday, we wish to be very sure that if Canadians are going to be used in this operation, that first of all, they are going to be in as secure a position as it is possible to be under the circumstances, and also that they will have the capability of carrying out that mandate. This is now being discussed in the Security Council and at the United Nations, and the next 24 hours or so should see the situation clarified, and then we will be in a better position to decide whether we have the capability to carry out any task that may be asked of us.
The External Affairs Minister discussing Canada's role in a possible peacekeeping mission for Lebanon.
That the government can't learn to work within the rules of Parliament and to discuss public business and respond to public business in the House of Commons.
Exactly.
May I ask the Prime Minister whether he can advise the House of Commons whether the government of Canada has received reasonable assurances that Israel is prepared to accept all of the provisions of the Security Council resolution.
Mr. Speaker, the answer is, at the moment, no. And this, of course, is one of the reasons why, at the moment also, we are not prepared to make a positive and a specific commitment, even if asked which I emphasize once again, we have not been. We have only heard from Prime Minister Begin in his statements upon arrival in the United States, together with general assurances by various spokesmen within Israel that they are prepared to cooperate, although they have expressed very strong reservations about the efficacy of such a force. Under these circumstances, therefore, we are waiting, as indeed are other members of the Security Council, for a categorical declaration by Israel that it is, first of all, prepared to accept the ceasefire, and also that it is prepared to answer the United Nations security demand for a withdrawal immediately from Lebanon.
My supplementary is to the Prime Minister as the head of the government of Canada. I wonder if the Prime Minister could tell us whether in the event that Canada does receive and decide to accept an invitation to be part of that that peacekeeping force, whether it is the intention, or it would be the intention of the government of Canada, to use Canadian troops which are presently with the United Nations Disengagement Observer Force. And can the Prime Minister advise the House of Commons whether that can be done, or can he advise us as the head of the government of Canada, whether that can be done without jeopardizing the strength of the mission on the Golan Heights?
Speaker, that is one of the forces, of course, that we have in place over there at the present time. The task has not been defined. We are looking at our own capability, depending on what the request is from the United Nations.
That question fielded by Defense Minister Barney Danson.
Final question to the Prime Minister as the head of the government. Can the Prime Minister advise us?
Opposition leader is having difficulty getting Mr. Trudeau to reply.
Considering its response to this Security Council resolution, is considering imposing any time limit upon the commitment of Canadian troops, and if so, what that time limit would be?
Mr. Speaker, may I say in answer to this particular ploy on the part of the Leader of the Opposition that if he'd allow some of his colleagues to participate, we might also get better questions.
External Affairs Minister Jameson again fielding the question that was asked of the Prime Minister.
The time limit as suggested for the Lebanon force has been a matter of 6 months. That is the date or time that is stated in the resolution. There is, however, a prior proposal, namely for a two-week involvement by existing forces in the area, particularly those of Sweden and of Austria, and possibly others, which would move in on a preliminary basis to more or less pave the way, as it were, for the larger and more permanent force. That would, it is anticipated, involve a period of 2 weeks. It is in that connection, incidentally, that some proposal has been put forward in a tentative way for Canadian logistical support from forces now on the ground in the Middle East for that particular movement. And it is this complex of proposals, which I emphasize once again, it's taking some time to clarify, and it is why it is not possible at this time to state with precision precisely what the involvement of Canada is going to be.
Honorable Member for Victoria.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of External Affairs. If Israel disengages, what assurances are there to be from the forces to the north of the disengagement area? The PLO are not recognized, and Lebanon seems unable to guarantee the situation in that area. So the peacekeeping forces might well find themselves being harassed and engaged by the PLO. Or their friends, and what assurances will there be that they will be controllable by the peacekeeping forces?
Question from Tory defense critic Alan MacKinnon.
That is the most sensible question of the afternoon. And it makes, by the way, a total mockery of the motion introduced originally by the Leader of the Opposition, because it is precisely because those questions have not been answered that we are reluctant to commit Canadian forces in what could be a very precarious situation. And that is why the resolution was not acceptable to this side and ought not to have been put forward in the way it was by the Leader of the Opposition and supported by the Right Honourable Member from Prince Albert. Now, in terms of the answer to the Honourable Member's question, this is one of the matters which we are now seeking to have clarified. That is, what acceptance there will be by the PLO of the legitimacy and the rights of whatever peacekeeping force is put in place, so that there will not be attempted incursions by the PLO who will disregard the peacekeeping forces. There is also the question of what is described as the so-called Arab peacekeeping force, the Syrians who have been to the north of the Red River line, or the Red Line on the Litani River. Once these matters are resolved, it will make us a lot more capable of making a final decision.
Final supplementary, the Honorable Member.
Again, back to Alan McKinnon.
Canadian government says blow her up.
It takes a considerable length of time to get these through when the minister sees fit to indulge in these political arguments in the middle of the answers. Could the minister tell me, the same minister, are we offering logistic and administrative troops and combat troops, or the whole lot, if they want them, or have we restricted our offer solely to logistic troops? At the same time, would the minister undertake to come back to Parliament for approval of the Canadian contribution before it's finally committed in this area?
Mr. Speaker, to be precise, we are not offering at the moment anything. All we have said is that we are prepared to make a contribution if it is deemed that we have the capability of doing so. And it is, again, for the reasons that the Honorable Gentleman has outlined, that we have kept it in that form. If, for example, it is largely a logistical role, then we would have to examine that request in the light of the responsibilities we now have based in Ismailia and on the Golan Heights. Now, we could not substantially expand our logistical support beyond that at the present time. One of the suggestions that I have made, with the concurrence of my colleague, the Minister of National Defense, and one which the United Nations has accepted, is to examine the whole program and problem in the light of an overall theater approach, namely that there would be a coordination between the new force and those already in place on the Golan and in the Sinai. And if that were to be done, then it is quite possible that the Canadian logistics...